Good morning. Yossi, he's not here yet, right? Okay.
Okay.
So, we spent last month describing the cosmic infinity of Torah. Those are two different words. They're related, but one that is infinite, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, and therefore his Torah is infinite, but it's Torah's reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is cosmic. So that it inheres in some upper realm, even before HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinite essence begins to trickle down to lower worlds, Torah inhabits, or is positioned, an even higher plane. Therefore, by studying Torah, you are engaging yourself with, one could say, almost a trigger point of the entire cosmic flow. The entire flow of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence, the entire cosmos, is through Torah. By studying Torah, you're reinforcing that conduit, and you're reinforcing that delivery. Now, but in Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu delimited Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us stone with words, and paper with letters, and finite ideas. This is not the only Torah. Our Torah is one minor version of the infinite sweep of Torah. In Shemayim, Torah is conjugated. Famous Medrash says that every word of Torah has the name of Hashem. When I look at the Torah, I see words that aren't the name of Hashem. The word S doesn't sound like the name of Hashem. The word Vayochal doesn't sound like the name of Hashem. The answer is that's the way Torah was conjugated for us. But if you take the letters of Torah and the ideas of Torah, you could spin millions of permutations, and in those permutations, every word is the name of Hashem. But Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shrunk it for human bite-sized experiences. So the Ishbitzer is going to say no. And of course we know it to be true. Today it's not really a Chiddush. Sometimes we've seen Ishbitzers that are Chiddushim about Hashem's presence and Hashem's will and human freedom. This is classic ideas, but just the iconography and the symbolism is classic Chassidus. Even at Har Sinai, when Hashem is shrinking Torah into human form, Kadosh Baruch Hu is reminding us that whatever you know, you don't know anything. Just think about yourselves, the boys who are in yeshiva. Are you a bigger Talmud Chacham now or a bigger Amaretz? After being in yeshiva for so long, I hope you're a bigger Amaretz, because you know how little you know. Before you started yeshiva, you hardly knew how little you knew. So now the more Torah you uncover, the more you realize you can't understand. This is conveyed at Har Sinai by one letter, our favorite letter in the Brisker world, the Kaf. Kaf Adimayon. Kaf Adimayon, at least in Gemara, it creates an association between two halachic items. But in Machshava, it means approximation, that nothing that you're seeing is real. It's just an abhor, complete and comprehensive. It's just an approximation. So Kadosh Baruch Hu begins Har Sinai with a kaf. Well, he doesn't begin Har Sinai with a kaf. He begins with an aleph, of course, the first letter in the alphabet. But he begins with a kaf because Hashem should have said, Ani Hashem Elokecha. And instead of starting Har Sinai with Ani Hashem Elokecha, he adds one letter. What's the one letter that differs between Ani and Anochi? The Kaf. So this is not etymology. This is not grammar. This is just word symbolism, letter symbolism. By inserting that Kaf and launching Har Sinai with the word Anochi rather than the word Ani, Hashem is saying, what you're about to see is not the entire sweep. It's just an approximation. It's just a Kaf. It's just your way of accessing Torah. It's not the complete and full sweep of Torah. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Similarly, he feels that that's why night and day interact in such a intriguing fashion, because day suggests clarity and lucidity, and night suggests obscurity and lack of understanding and mystery. And after the day comes the night, at least in human experience, halachically the day follows the night, but in human experience the night follows the day. So experientially, we try to uncover as much of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah as we can, but then we reach the night and we realize that we're facing a dead end intellectually, and there's no way to proceed, and whatever we thought we had the day before is obscured compared to what we'll have the day afterwards. And there's this rhythm and rotation between day and night, which, of course, affects many parts of human identity, but at least according to the Ishbitz, affects Torah as well. The third touch point for this is an interesting Zohar. The Zohar says, why is the second of the Aseret HaDibros Lotasa L'cha Pesel? Why that word? Why is it the second Dibra? The second Dibra I can understand because it's so seminal. Not to form idols, but it's a strange word. Lo tasalcha pesel, lo tavar avodazara, lo tasalcha masecha, lo tasalcha lhim achirim. Why does it say the word pesel? Strange word. So the Zohar says, because one day Hashem will tell Moshe Psalacha in Parshas Ki Tisa to carve out the luchos, so therefore be careful lotasalacha pesel. So there's some wordplay between Psalacha in Parshas Ki Tisa, the ultimate fashioning of the luchos, and lotasalacha pesel. So the Ishbis explains, the word Psalacha means to carve, to shape, to define, precision, careful, surgical. When you carve something, you're very careful about the movements of your hand, where the engraving will be if it's carving, where the ink will be if it's writing. It's craftsmanship, it's artisanship, it's creation with finite containment and limits and boundaries and frameworks and how far is the line, how far is the piece of art. Whenever you're creating something, you want to establish your boundaries, and it's very, very clearly defined. And our attempt to study Torah, especially in this yeshiva is not a yeshiva of osmotic learning, where we just learn and learn and learn and learn and hope and imagine that with the volumes of learning coursing through our imagination, the methodologies will emerge. This is more of a methodological yeshiva. How do you approach a sugya? How do you dissect the Tosfos? How do you compare it in Nafka Mina? It's different approaches. So we're trying to apply Psalacha. We're trying to take Hashem's Torah and carve it out and create a system and create an analytic methodology towards it, so that when we come to the next sugya, the tools of the previous sugya will assist us in cracking open the mysteries of the next sugya, and not just reading what others have said, but trying to dissect it and organize it. Hashem says, okay, but as much as you're confident in Psalacha, be careful, that's not the totality of Hashem. The totality of Hashem can't be contained, can't be. Psalacha means try to conquer Torah and systematize and schematize Torah, but then realize, I'm not just in an idol, that's a gross form of paganism, listen to what I'm about to say, but any suggestion that you can cover the entire sweep of Torah, or that the Torah you know is the totality, that's a form of paganism. Because paganism means you're shrinking Hashem into human form. It's not Aser in the same way that worshipping an idol is Aser, but conceptually, it's the same flaw. Hashem is beyond. Hashem can't be fully comprehended. Even His Torah is beyond. His Torah is all-inclusive and all-pervading. As much as you know, that's your Torah. That's your system. That's your derech. That's your sugya. That's your mahalich. Psalacha. But also, lotasa lecha pesel. Not just the iser of avodah zarah in the real sense, but lotasa lecha pesel. Don't assume you can be psalacha. Psalacha is the best you can do. You have to, but don't assume that you can be psalacha. Lotasa lecha pesel. Avodah zarah, again, being the most egregious form, but even other statements in which you feel that you can completely contain Torah is violating lotasa lecha pesel. So three different systems of imageries conveying the same point. Torah is infinite. Even in Har Sinai, where Hashem contained it, Hashem wanted to remind us that whatever I'm containing and delivering is just a small flavor and a small smidgen of the Torah, modicum of my infinity. Three reasons. Number one, or three different demonstrations. Number one, the insertion of the chaf. Number two, general, it's why Hashem subjects us to day and night. One aspect, we should go through those rotating cycles of clarity and obscurity. It should reflect Torah to us, the aura of Torah and the darkness of Torah, so to speak, the mystery of Torah. And then finally, Psalacha, adjacent to Lotasa Lecha Pesel, not just to highlight the Yisra Avodah Zarah, but the mental Avodah Zarah, the attitudinal shrinkage of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a violation of Lotasa Lecha Pesel, which could be a natural product of Psalacha, so Hashem's creating a counterbalance. Okay? So, good luck with infinity today. Hopefully by the end of the day, you'll hit the brick wall.